Turn to Luke chapter 24, and we're going to be reading from verse 13 to 35. Luke chapter 24, starting at verse 13. There's a title here that says, The Road to Emmaus. The Word of God says, Now behold, two of them were travelling that same day to a village called Emmaus, which was 7 miles from Jerusalem. And they talked together of all these things which had happened. So it was, while they conversed and reasoned, that Jesus himself drew near and went with them. But their eyes were restrained so that they did not know him. And he said to them, What kind of conversation is this that you have with one another as you walk and are sad? Then the one whose name was Cleopas answered and said to him, Are you the only stranger in Jerusalem? And have you not known the things which happened there in those days? And he said to them, What things? So they said to him, The things concerning Jesus of Nazareth, who was a prophet, mighty in deed and word before God and all the people. And how the chief priests and our rulers delivered him to be condemned to death and crucified him. But we were hoping that it was he who was going to redeem Israel. Indeed, besides all this, today is the third day since these things happened. Yes, and certain women of our company who arrived at the tomb early astonished us. When they did not find his body, they came saying that they had also seen a vision of angels who said he was alive. And certain of those who were with us went to the tomb and found it just as the women had said, but him they did not see. Then he said to them, O foolish ones, and slow of heart to believe in all that the prophets have spoken. Ought not the Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory? And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded to them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. Then they drew near to the village where they were going, and he indicated that he would have gone farther. But they constrained him, saying, Abide with us, for it is toward evening, and the day is far spent. And he went in to stay with them. Now it came to pass, as he sat at the table with them, that he took bread, blessed and broke it, and gave it to them. Then their eyes were opened, and they knew him, and he vanished from their sight. And they said to one another, Did not our heart burn within us while he talked with us on the road, and while he opened the scriptures to us? So they rose up that very hour and returned to Jerusalem and found the 11 and those who were with them gathered together, saying, The Lord is risen indeed and has appeared to Simon. And they told about the things that had happened on the road and how he was known to them in the breaking of bread. Well, God will bless that word to us as it is faithfully preached tonight by Pastor Jan. We look forward to that.
And tonight, my brothers and sisters, let's go back to Luke chapter 24. And we will continue our study on this event where Christ rose from the dead. This morning, we tackled verses 1 through 12 of Luke 24. And this was the moment when the women, went back to the tomb and discovered that the Lord Jesus Christ rose from the dead. At this point now, in verses 13 to 35, we will see actually Jesus in the scenario. Because this morning's message, we didn't really have an account where Jesus Christ was involved in some activities. It was more the ladies and the disciples and the apostles who were able to receive the news from the ladies. But look at verse number 13 of Luke 24. Now behold, two of them were traveling that same day to a village called Emmaus, which was 7 miles from Jerusalem. And they talked together of all these things which had happened. So it was, while they conversed and reasoned, that Jesus himself drew near and went with them. But their eyes were restrained so that they did not know him. And he said to them, What kind of conversation is this that you have with one another as you walk and are sad? Then the one whose name was Cleopas answered and said to him, Are you the only stranger in Jerusalem, and have you not known the things which happened there in these days? And he said to them, "What things?" So they said to him, "The things concerning Jesus of Nazareth, who was a prophet mighty in deed and word before God and all the people, and how the chief priests and our rulers delivered him to be condemned to death and crucified him. But we were hoping that it was he who was going to redeem Israel. Indeed, besides all this, today is the third day since these things happened. Yes, and certain women of our company who arrived at the tomb early astonished us. When they did not find his body, they came saying that they had also seen a vision of angels who said he was alive. And certain of those who were with us went to the tomb and found it just as the women had said. But him, they did not see. Then he said to them, 'O foolish ones, and slow of heart to believe in all that the prophets have spoken. Ought not the Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory?' And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded to them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. Then they drew near to the village where they were going, and he indicated that he would have gone farther. But they constrained him, saying, 'Abide with us, for it is toward evening, and the day is far spent.' And he went in to stay with them. Now it came to pass, as he sat at the table with them, and he took bread, blessed and broke it, and gave it to them, then their eyes were opened, and they knew him, and he vanished from their sight. And they said to one another, 'Did not our heart burn within us while he talked with us on the road, and while he opened the scriptures to us?' So they rose up that very hour and returned to Jerusalem and found the 11 and those who were with them gathered together, saying, 'The Lord is risen indeed and has appeared to Simon.' And they told about the things that had happened on the road and how he was known to them in the breaking of bread." Oh Lord, with excitement we approach your word, because once again we will encounter passages about the truth of Christ's resurrection. So guide our thoughts, dear Lord. Help us to learn, help us to know you more, and may at the end of this message, we will have praises and honor reserved just for you. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. So, dearly beloved, here in this passage, we see two of Jesus' followers on the road to Emmaus. Now, they probably returned from the Passover celebration in Jerusalem. They're maybe walking home. Maybe this is where they lived, in Emmaus. Now, Emmaus was a town mentioned nowhere else in the scripture. Very interesting. And maybe a town, some commentators suggest, John MacArthur as one, as the town called, which is called now Kolbebe. Kolbebe, which is 7 miles northwest of Jerusalem. So if you convert that from miles to kilometers, because of course in the Philippines we use kilometers as well as we do here, it's about 11.4 kilometers. I researched, if you're taking M4, it's a walk from here to Wentworth Falls. So that's the distance. Here to Wentworth Falls. Shall we gonna walk, everybody? And try to see how his passage goes. So this is where this scenario happened. So I'd like to share with us tonight just four points about this passage concerning these two disciples, these two followers of the Lord Jesus Christ who were walking on the road to Emmaus. And the first point is a description of the disciples. The description of the disciples. And we see this in verses 13 through 16 and then verse number 17. We notice first, of course, the anonymity of these disciples. Aside from the name Cleopas, which is mentioned here in verse number 18, we know nothing else about these disciples. We don't even know the other person. So we know Cleopas, which is again mentioned nowhere else in the scriptures. That's all we know about these disciples. So we understand this. They weren't famous apostles. They were simple, as what one author had said, and half anonymous followers of Jesus. I take it as characteristic of the Lord that in the glory of his resurrection life, he gave himself with such fullness of disclosure to these unknown and undistinguished men. He still reveals himself to lowly hearts. The point is that Here is the Savior for the common man. Unknown man. Here is the Lord who does not spurn the humble, says Morrison. Because really, if you look at it, Jesus is only how many days here? Pentecost. And he had so many days on earth, you would think that he would go to kings, to the VIPs of the community, and you know. But he did not just approach the VIPs of the community. He spent time even with the simplest of people. Unknown disciples, unknown followers. That really just, comforts my heart. Because in the scenario of thousands of millions of Christians, this just really reminds me that even God knows me. God sees me as me. You know, he doesn't look at us in a big group. Okay, Central Mountains Baptist Church, check. No. He looks at every single one of us with such intimacy, with such knowledge of whatever's going through our lives. He knows us. That's how intimate the Lord Jesus Christ is. And so, dearly beloved brother and sister, if you're here tonight and you're saying, oh, I'm lost in this crowd, you know, does God even know me? He does. In fact, he even knows the numbers of your hair. That's how specific Christ knows us very well. So don't you dare feel, you know, not special in the eyes of God. Don't ever feel that Christ leaves you alone and he doesn't have his eyes on you. No, brother and sister. He has his eyes on you. That's the first thing I notice here, if you look at the disciples. But second, notice also what they were doing while they were walking on the road to Emmaus. Verses 14 through 15. And they talked together of all these things which had happened. So it was, while they conversed and reasoned. Let's pause there for a minute. So they were conversing, they were reasoning. I looked at the two Greek words here used for these two verbs, converse and reason. If you take them both together, they would mean they were talking, they were discussing, even debating. They were debating. They were investigating jointly. That's the word there that's used in the Greek about the things that had happened this past few days. That's what they're discussing about. And if you read the passage here, it seemed as if it was really a heated discussion. It was really something that they had opinions about. You know, when you talk to your friends and they have opinions about something, you become heated, right? You're like, rah. You're on your faces at each other. You can even feel the breath of your friend on your face and the saliva spilling out. That's because you're just so involved with the conversation and with the topic, you know. This is what I imagine it to be. These two men, and can you imagine it? They're walking like, no, and all of these things they're talking about. But thirdly though, with this conversation and the reasonings that they were doing, you can find in verse number 16, to the words of Jesus, that they were sad. When Jesus asked, what kind of conversation is this that you have with one another as you walk and are sad? So yes, they were passionate about this conversation. They were very involved. But at the same time, the countenance that they have, the summary of the emotion that was palpable in this conversation was sadness. They were saddened. They probably were grieving. Because that's what you have heard from the Word of God. They hoped that Jesus Christ was the Redeemer. And that hope is shattered. Just shattered. And so they're going home to where they were at. They were living with such hopelessness and sadness and grief. Now, in the middle of all of these conversations, verse 15 tells us, and that Jesus himself drew near and went with them. Maybe they weren't even able to discover or to notice where Jesus Christ was coming from. That's because of their conversation. They were so focused with each other, its words and reasoning and their debating that they didn't know. Did Jesus just like poof out of nowhere? He could have, because his body was like that during this time. Did he come from, was he going the different direction and then he just make a U-turn? Or was he at the back but he was a fast walker or something? the passage didn't say. But only that Jesus drew near and went with them. Now Luke says here in verse 16, their eyes were restrained. So much so that they did not know him. They did not recognize that it was the Lord Jesus Christ himself. Again, as I think of it, I think it was more about, again, their passion over this conversation. Their passion over this conversation. I feel bad about this in the home because when I'm so passionate with talking to my lovely wife and beholding her face, I don't notice my children. You know, and they're saying something, yeah, you know, you're just like, yeah, okay, yeah, go now. Talking to your mom, okay? Something like that. That could, I'm imagining this here. They did not know Christ. They did not recognize Christ. The second thing I want to point out is the dialogue between Jesus and the disciples. The dialogue between Jesus and the disciples, his followers. Verse number 17. Here, Jesus Christ automatically just joins the conversation. He asks, what kind of conversation is this that you have with one another as you walk and are sad? That's the question of the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, the Lord Jesus Christ is an expert with questions, isn't he? If you read the Gospels, he often uses questions, inquiry, to get into your heart, to get into your mind. You know, he uses that. Right? And here, just at this heated conversation and talking and discussion, he uses inquiry. What is this? What's the topic about? What's the theme of all of these things? That as you're walking, you're sad. Then here in verse number 18, we know the name of one of them. It's Cleopas. And Cleopas answered and said to him, are you the only stranger in Jerusalem? And have you not known the things which happened there in these days? In other words, where have you been? You know, sometimes we have this conversation again with my wife as well. Like, you know, my wife would tell me, oh, you know, so and so. Really? And she would say, where have you been? Have you been in the news? I thought you're a news guy. Well, I am, but not these past few days. I'm just so busy doing these things. Or sometimes I do that with her too. Don't you know this? And she would say like, oh, really? And I would say, where have you been? And so that was what Cleopas said. Where have you been? So dearly beloved, we just know that this event that happened with the Lord Jesus Christ in Jerusalem was a massive event. It literally shook the very foundation of the leadership of Jerusalem. That was a big, because of the statement of Cleopas. Are you the only stranger in, if you're in Jerusalem, you would have not missed this. You could have heard somebody talk about this, or you have seen it. You've seen the crowd. You've heard the cries. You've heard the shouts. And you have not known these things which happened there in these days. So that was the question, the answer of Cleopas. And now, as I look at the Lord Jesus Christ now, how do you think Jesus Christ responded? What do you think was the expression of Jesus when Cleopas said, where have you been? I don't know. Again, my divine imagination goes back, and Jesus Christ probably was like, and then he goes back with a serious face. Oh, well, you know, but this guy, where have I been? You know? And then, yes. And Jesus Christ says, what things? And then maybe Jesus Christ looks back and what things? You know, because this is Jesus. Of course he knows what happened. In fact, he was in front row seats. He was the main character of what had happened in Jerusalem. And so he said, what things? Now, did Jesus know what happened? What do you think, Patrick? Of course he did. Right, Nate? He did know. He knew everything, what these two men were talking about. Now, in saying this, in saying what things, Jesus, as what author said, skillfully played along. He skillfully played along with a conversation, encouraging the men to reveal their hearts. Even though he knew their hearts, there was value in them saying it to Jesus. Again, Jesus is a master teacher. He uses, again, questions. Do you love me more than these? Remember that conversation you will have later on, you know? And then in the past, with the Pharisees, with the Sadducees, with the disciples, he would just ask questions and questions. So it's not about Jesus Christ not knowing. Actually, he's on top of the conversation, leading the conversation to where he wants the conversation to go. And you know, thinking about this, Christ does this with us today too. He delights in us telling him what's in our hearts and our minds, even though he knows everything we're about to say. And we call that prayer. We call that prayer. Because you would ask, why would I need to pray? Don't you know about these things? And Jesus Christ will probably answer, what things? You know, oh, these things about my life, Lord. Like, you know, this trouble I'm going through. Oh, my children, Lord. You know them, Lord. Don't you know about my children, Lord? And what children? Tell me. That's how the Lord draws us in. Not because he doesn't know. He knows. But he wants us to spend time with him, to tell him, and to converse with him. So they told Jesus what they knew in response to the question of Jesus, what things? They told him, verse 19, the things concerning Jesus of Nazareth, of course, who was a prophet, mighty indeed, and word before God and all the people. And how the chief priest here, they went bout on what had happened. And our rulers delivered him to be condemned to death. And then they crucified him. But we were hoping that it was he who was going to redeem Israel. Indeed, besides all this, today is the third day since these things happened. You can really hear the sadness in their words. Yes, and certain women of our company who arrived at the tomb early astonished us. When they did not find his body, they came saying that they had also seen a vision of angels who said he was alive. And certain of those who were with us went to the tomb and found it just as the women had said. But him they did not see. So here you can see the reason why they were saddened. Especially here. Look, verse number 21. But we were hoping that it was he who was going to redeem Israel. That is truly a crushing thought. You know when you put your hope on something and it's just crushed? That's what happened to them. But of course, they did not understand what Jesus Christ's mission was at this first coming. That's why they put their hope on something that was not on the right timeline. You see? This will happen someday, but not during this time. But that's the reality of their grief. They put their hope on Jesus, who they thought would redeem Israel, but he died. And they saw him buried, and now we're going home with nothing in our very hands. Their hopes about Jesus were dashed. Furthermore, they shared, of course, with Jesus their astonishment regarding certain women's announcements. Remember the announcements of the women this morning? Certain women's announcements. It's almost like when they were saying this, they almost always had the word apparently. Or in the legal system, what do they do? Do they use? Allegedly. When you read their description, they allegedly saw the Lord Jesus. They, you know, when you're using that word allegedly, it almost like not doesn't make it a fact because it's only alleged. The way they're saying that is these things is in that kind of manner, especially in this aspect of the women sharing what they saw, visions of angels. And saying that that he is alive. And then certain of those who were with us went to the tomb and found it, just as the women said, but him they did not see. Allegedly. You know, but how do I know this? Because they came home again sad. If they truly believed the announcement of the women, they wouldn't be going home sad. they won't be going with their shoulders down, you know, like, oh, we're going home and what are we going to do now? So that was the dialogue between Jesus and the disciples. Jesus answered, asked them the question, they answered. But oh, dearly beloved, we see the third point here, the denunciation of Jesus. Jesus gave them a rebuke. Look at verses 25 to 27. Then he said to them, oh, foolish ones, and slow of heart to believe in all that the prophets have spoken. Ought not the Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory? And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded to them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. His denunciation started with the words, O foolish ones. In other words, this first introduction of the denunciation says, O you who lack wisdom. Remember this morning, you may know things. You may know information, but that's just knowledge. No, we need wisdom. And that's what they lacked. And Jesus Christ says, oh, you who lacked wisdom. And Jesus continued to tell them, according to one commentator, that the problem with their belief was more in their heart than their head. Oh, foolish ones and slow of heart in all, to believe in all that the prophets have spoken. The problem was more in their heart than in their head. So really, information-wise, they have it. They have been taught. They heard Jesus Christ. But their heart believing, trying to understand, that's absent. I'm dissecting the truth, understanding the truth, that's absent. And that author continues with these words. We often think that the main obstacles to belief are in the head, but they are actually in the heart. That's why Jesus Christ said here, slow of heart. He didn't say slow of mind. See that? No. Oh, it wasn't even about witnessing, slow of speech. No. He said, oh, foolish ones and slow of heart. You have slow of heart to believe in all the prophets have spoken. And dearly beloved, oh, we have tons of materials from the prophets on what they said about Christ. Just a few. We have read, of course, Isaiah 53 this past Friday. But Isaiah 53 is a good passage to revisit. Isaiah 53, 3 to 5, the prophet Isaiah said this, he who is despised and rejected by man, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief, and we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised and we did not esteem him. Surely he has borne our griefs and he carried our sorrows, yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten by God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. And by his stripes, we are healed. That's just the prophet Isaiah. If you go even to another passage in Isaiah 50, 5 to 7, another of the servant songs. The Lord God said, Isaiah has opened my ear and I was not rebellious, nor did I turn away. I gave my back to those who struck me, and my cheeks to those who plucked out my beard. I did not hide my face from shame and spitting, for the Lord God will help me. Therefore, I will not be disgraced. Therefore, I have set my face like a flint, and I know that I will not be ashamed. Daniel, the minor prophets, Zechariah, have words about what happened to the Lord Jesus Christ. They have explained this already years, hundreds of years before that event happened. That's why Jesus Christ said, going back to Luke chapter 24, oh, you foolish ones. You foolish ones. Your problem is not the head. Your problem is not knowledge. Your problem is the slowness of heart to believe. You have it all. You have the Old Testament, but you did not believe. In today's world, we have the same dilemma. We have the same problem, dearly beloved. The problem is not that we don't know. Not that we have not amassed biblical knowledge. We have more Bible schools today than any other generation. And talking about tapping knowledge, information, it's so fast nowadays. It by nanoseconds. You type it on Google and you have it. Everything is your fingertips. Due to technology, it's literally right there in our fingertips. But why the spiritual decline? Why Christians saying we're not Christians anymore? Pastors leaving the ministry. And not just leaving the ministry, leaving the faith even, saying that we have deconstructed our faith. Why? The problem is not the lack of knowledge. The problem is lack of faith. The world is so slow to believe what they know, what they're told, what they're given as far as the Word of God is concerned. Unbelieving generation. Unbelief is everywhere, dearly beloved. And not only that, it's coupled with disrespect to God's Word and His name. They blaspheme the name of God. It's disgusting. It's so sad that we have come to this point. And what did Jesus Christ do? When He denounced them, He said, "Ought not the Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into His glory?" Of course, now checking Isaiah, Daniel, the minor prophets, the question is, of course, because that's what they said that will happen. And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, He expounded to them in all the scriptures the things concerning Himself. The living Word explaining the written Word. It's amazing. What an amazing Bible study. Would you join a Bible study if you know that the Lord Jesus Christ is the teacher? Oh, forget about Jan. No, choose Jan and Jesus. Of course, I would even say, cancel our Bible study. Let's go to the class of Jesus. This is Jesus Christ, the living Lord, teaching. Amazing opportunity of these two men. I want to know who these are in heaven. That they were able to talk to Jesus. And Jesus expounded to them the scriptures. Now the word expounded here came from two Greek words. Dia and hermeneuo. Ah, that sounds familiar. Hermeneuo. Where we get the English word hermeneutics. Which means to explain or to interpret thoroughly. They had the opportunity that the Lord Jesus Christ, from Moses and all the prophets, He explained, He interpreted thoroughly all of them concerning Himself. So this was a directed learning. He was explaining, but the direction was, it's about Himself. It's about Jesus. So the application was Jesus. Wow, that would be a wonderful preaching. That's really a new thing for me. I've heard from Steve Lawson and other preachers now that you need to always find Christ in the passage wherever you are. I don't know if you heard about that kind of approach in preaching. Always find Christ in that passage. So that in every conclusion, your highlight must always be Christ. Since I wasn't trained in that way of thinking, I'm still learning that. And I think that is following what Christ has said here. He expounded Moses and the prophets. For example, if you're in the wilderness there and you're in that situation where all of these snakes are everywhere and the people cried and they cried to Moses and Moses cried to the Lord and the Lord said, okay, Moses, create a brazen serpent and hang it on a tree. And you know the story, right? Everybody who would look at that serpent will be saved and they will not die. Then what will be the conclusion? If we'll follow the example of Jesus, then we know that that brazen serpent is a picture of Christ. So now you go to the New Testament because Christ was also lifted up in the tree. That's kind of thing. That's what Jesus Christ did. He interpreted Moses and all the prophets to them in all the scriptures, these things concerning Himself. And this is the key point I want to drive, dearly beloved. faith, because the point here of Jesus is that their faith was, their heart was slow to believe. And so what is the key? Not more activities. You know? Not more activities. Not being busy. Not being involved in all of these activities. Church activities are good. But what we need all the more in this unbelieving world is the preaching of the Word of God. Because faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. You cannot manufacture faith. You know, all of these programs to attract people. And then they will all come to the church. And they were also happy because the church is just so like a circus, like an Eastern show. Oh, is that Eastern show somewhere there? Yeah, Eastern show or something. Now, I haven't gone. I want to go, but it's crowded at the moment, they said. Nothing bad about that if you want to go. I think it's fun for kids. But what I'm saying is, if you want to make the church like that, because you want to attract the world to come in, no faith will be generated. Because activities changing the church to look like the world will never generate faith. Because the Word of God tells us, faith only comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. So what we need more is the teaching, faithful teaching of the Word. And not only in church, but in our homes, in our personal lives. That's how it is. This is the philosophy, dearly beloved, that I want to continue to uphold in our pulpit ministry here in Central Mountains Baptist Church. It's my prayer and desire that whenever I stand behind this pulpit, all I want to do is to follow Christ's example. Right here with what he did with the two disciples. Expound to you all in all the scriptures the things concerning Christ. That's all. This is what will nourish us in our spiritual lives. This is what will strengthen our faith. I hope you pray for me in that. And for the rest of our preachers as well. Because we know faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. So the denunciation of Jesus. But lastly, dearly beloved, fourth is the dinner with Jesus. I'm so envious with these guys. They had conversation with Jesus. They had dinner with Jesus. I'm just kidding. We're going to have dinner with Jesus someday as well in heaven. The marriage supper of the Lamb. But anyway, going back to these disciples of Jesus. The dinner with Jesus. When they were drawing near the village, in verse 28, where they were going... And Jesus indicated that he would have gone farther. In other words, you will arrive to your destination. I haven't. I will still need to go ahead further. But they constrained him. They constrained Jesus. And the word constrained here is to urge, to press, to compel, to force contrary. In other words, whoever you are, stranger, don't go. Stay. You know, stay with us. And they said, saying, abide with us, for it is toward evening. It's already nighttime, and the day is far spent. And then just eat dinner with us. You know, because it's dinner time. So they constrained the Lord Jesus Christ, abide with us. Now, one author said, Spurgeon said, it is a very strong word that they used here. They constrained him. It is akin to the one which Christ used when he said, the kingdom of heaven suffereth violence. They not only invited him, but they held him. They grasped his hand and they tugged at his skirts. They said he should not go. And I think it's related to what they will say later on here. That they said, did not our heart burn within us while he talked with us on that road and while he opened the scriptures to us? There's something special about this man. That's what they're saying. They didn't know him yet during this time, but there is something special about this man. We don't want him to go. Please stay. Thankfully, Jesus did stay. And he went in to stay with them, and they ate dinner. 30. Now it came to pass, as he sat at the table with them, that he took bread, blessed and broke it, and gave it to them. No, I think this was the giveaway. They must probably have heard this on what Jesus Christ did with his apostles. And they realize, wait a minute. This is something that Jesus Christ did with the apostles in the upper room a few days ago. And the word of God tells us, then their eyes were opened and they knew him. I don't want to read the next verse, the next line first, because I want to keep up with the emotion here. And they knew him, okay? Their eyes were opened. Their eyes were constrained. Now their eyes were opened. Right there in front of them, eating with them, was the Lord Jesus Christ. All this time is the Lord Jesus Christ. I don't know. How would you have felt? I don't just discover it's the Lord Jesus Christ. Like, I don't know. Like, no, maybe they held Jesus or they touched Jesus. You know that Jesus Christ did say that in other gospels that don't touch me yet. But I don't know. They might have smiled from ear to ear, or they might have leapt from where they were seated. This is Jesus. So the women, wow, those women, they tell the truth. You know, and they might have more questions, but no more question and answer at this time. Only that their eyes were opened and they knew him, and then he vanished. He vanished from their sight. He vanished from their sight. But dearly beloved, I cannot take my thoughts out from this line. Then their eyes were opened and they knew him. I think it's a very crucial sentence in this conversation. I think it's very crucial. And one author even commented about this. He said, Jesus may be right in front of you, walking with you and sitting down with you at every meal, and your eyes could be restrained from seeing him. We therefore should pray that God would open our eyes to see Jesus as he is, as being with us all the time. Now, I am not suggesting that Jesus is going to show up right there in your dinner table. But I believe what the author is saying, that we need to be conscious of the promise of God that he will never leave us nor forsake us. In fact, we must remember that hymn that the hymn writer said, and he walks with me and he talks with me. And he tells me I am his own. And the joy we share as we tarry there, none other has ever known. Oh, dearly beloved, let us not forget Christ is always with us. I like that quotation in a home that I went one time, which goes something like this. Jesus Christ, the silent guest at every house. Silent listener at every conversation. Something like, have you seen that in a home somewhere? Yeah. That just reminds you that Jesus is with you. And it's a comfort. It's also a warning. It's an encouragement. So sometimes if we forget, maybe we can pray like the hymn, open my eyes that I may see. Open my eyes, illumine me, Spirit divine. Just like these two disciples, especially in those times that it's the going gets tough and everything just seems to be going uphill, you know, and you're just riding a bike, you know, and the bike is even not new. It's 10 years old. You know that feeling? That you're, but remember, Jesus is with you. Don't let all of these things cover the reality that Jesus is right there with you. But then again, yes, we are told that Jesus Christ vanishes from their very eyes. And as they look back to their conversation with Jesus Christ, they said, here in verse number 32, they said to one another, did not our heart burn within us while he talked with us on the road and while he opened the scriptures to us? And notice the mention of the word heart again. Remember their problem? Slow in heart. Now they realize when the master teacher, the greatest rabbi taught them, and they realize, they look back, they said, did not our heart burn within us while he talked with us on the road and while he opened the scriptures to us? Oh, dearly beloved, God's word can have the same effect on our heart. Even when sometimes we don't even recognize, we don't even realize that God is at work. Do you understand me? Are you with me? Sometimes you're not conscious that, oh, the Lord is really working behind the scenes here. Sometimes we only realize that when we're looking back. But at that very moment, no. We're busy with all of these things, you know. We're busy with all of these things. But if the Word of God is open there, the word of advice is expounded, the word of God is explained, it will burn our hearts. Because listen, the word of God is truth. And only the word of God can sanctify, can change our hearts. Now, because of the work of Christ in their hearts, they embrace their new mission. Look at verse number 32 or 33. So they rose up that very hour, and they returned to Jerusalem. Now, this was nighttime already, and they didn't have M4 with all these lamps on the sides, you know. It was dark. There were snakes in the evenings. But that didn't matter. They rose up at the very hour. Maybe they weren't even able to finish their dinner, because they were just so excited with this discovery now of Jesus having walked with them. And so they cannot stop their hearts from delivering the message. They returned to Jerusalem and found the 11 and those who were with them gathered together, saying, "The Lord is risen indeed and has appeared to Simon." And they told about the things that had happened on the road and how he was known to them in the breaking of bread. They did not mind walking back from Wentworth Falls to Hazel. They didn't mind at all. And we can feel the passion here, dearly beloved. I mean, look at those words. The very hour, they rose up that very hour. They did not wait. Oh, I need to take a shower first. No, 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 no. Oh, I need to prepare my bag. No, 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 no. Oh, I need to pack up some things. No, 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 no. I need to call it. No, no, no. Right there. They know exactly what they're about to do. We talked with Christ. We sat with Christ. We ate with Christ. He told me this. I am ready now, Lord. Send me. And they went. And they found their brothers and sisters. And each of them testified. And now they're being encouraged. Dearly beloved, may I challenge us that this is our mission today as well. To tell the world that Jesus died. He was buried. And the third day he rose again. You ask me how I know he lives. He lives within my heart. And don't forget the lyrics of one of our favorite hymns. Out of the tomb he came with grace and majesty. He is alive. He is alive. God loves us so. See here his hands, his feet, his side. Yes, we know he is alive. He is not only the risen Savior. He is also the reigning King. So, dearly beloved, we have a story to tell to the nations. We have a mission to fulfill. Let's continue to bring the gospel with us and tell the others whose eyes are still blinded. They may know a lot about the Lord, but their hearts may still be unchanged. Maybe you are the herald that God will send. It doesn't matter if you're 40 or you're 14. It doesn't matter if you're a boy or a girl. It doesn't matter if you have training from Bible school or not. If you have the word of God that you have heard explained faithfully, you know what the gospel is. You have a message to bring. And we thank the Lord even that we are given by God the privilege to bring this to Bathurst. And continue to pray. We will again gather there this coming Sunday. Pray that our testimony there will be a strong one, a faithful one, proclaiming that our Lord and Savior is alive.